Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 3.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. It is Saturday, September the 14th, 2019. We thank God for you. We thank God for joining us tonight, this evening. This morning. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our conversation about character, one of the character traits of a godly man and what it means. And how are we shaping our character? Today, we're going to be talking about contentment. And we're going to touch on a few things in our discussion today. We're going to talk about how do we exhibit being content in our daily lives. How do we develop a mindset to trust God for all we have and need? What blocks me from being content? And how can I make contentment function better, stronger, and faster, even in times of uncertainty and stress? And these are the questions that we have to ask. Each of us have to ask ourselves. As we, as men of God, as husbands, fathers, and sons, as leaders in the church, leaders in the community, leaders in our home, we have to always be able to check ourselves, see all we are, and see if we are walking and living as men. Amen. So I want to encourage the brothers today, all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, and those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, to be able to talk about what it means to be content. So if you want to join in, just press one on your keypad. You can share your insights, your wisdom. Also, you can look for us on, give you a shout out. You can look for us. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. We're always posting men's events there, upcoming events, words of encouragement. There's a lot of things coming up in the fall. I see we're going back to school. We're going back into our churches. We're going back to a lot of men's events, men's prayer lines, men's breakfasts. But we encourage you to reach out there on the Facebook page and see the links. And if you're having an event, or you're starting up your men's ministry for the fall, for this last quarter of the year, please reach out to us, post it there. And we pray that, you know, that we can have an opportunity that men can come and be in a company of men, be encouraged, be strengthened, and be able to and just grow in their faith and build relationships and have some real fellowship as we continue to pray for each other and watch over each other. Amen. So I'm going to open with prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. We have a couple of announcements, some events here. For those who don't know, the month of September, is National Recovery Month. So we're going to pray for the addictions. We're going to pray for addicts. We're going to pray for those who are struggling through addiction, that are hurting, seeking, we're going to pray for their healing. So let us begin. Father God, we say thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for another day, God. We thank you for another opportunity, God, for a life to live that is glorifying to you, Lord God. Father, we thank you right now for our families. We thank you for our church families. We thank you for our leadership, our pastors, elders, and deacons, and those who serve behind the scene in ministry, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives, God. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed blood and crucifixion and death and sacrifice made it possible that we might live and be reconciled back to you, that we might live a life pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in the earth, Lord God. We thank you, God, for the air we breathe, Lord God. We thank you for the breath, oh God. We thank you, God, for water, for sunshine, God. We thank you for the things that we just take for granted today, Lord God, that you have provided for this human race, Lord God. So, Father, we just want to give you honor and glory today. Father, guide our thoughts, guide our words, guide our speech today that might be a word that would encourage someone, Lord God, that would encourage a man, oh God, who may be sitting on the edge of his bed and he woke up this morning, God, not knowing what the day beholds for him, God, but that he might be struggling with something, oh God. May it be any kind of addiction, any kind of emotional, any kind of spiritual, any kind of physical pain and hurt. Father, we pray the healing over that brother today, oh God. We pray for his family, oh God, because if a man is hurting, his family is hurting, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, your continued blessing over us, oh God. Guide us and lead us, strengthen us to be the leaders in the home, leaders in the church, and leaders in our community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. Well, also, as I said, September is National Recovery Month. And from the month of September, from September 1st to September 30th, every Wednesday and Friday night from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Washington, D.C., Northeast Washington, D.C., the Good Success Christian Church and my brother Cavell Whitehead is hosting an opiate addiction-focused seminar. And they're doing it two nights a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, 6:30 to 8:30. And on next Friday, the 20th of September, we will be there live and we'll be talking and we'll be having a discussion, a panel on opiate addiction and some of the issues, some of the hurts, some of the habits, hang-ups, and also we're going to be sharing some insight information for awareness, to bring awareness to the community, information on treatment and resources for those who are looking, or if you have someone in your family who's struggling with opiate addiction or any kind of addiction, really. But we're going to focus on heroin, opiates, and over-the-counter drugs, and we're going to just share some awareness and some treatment about how to handle overdoses and resources that we can get help and get healing. Minister Cavell, you can reach him if you're interested in coming out or need some information for yourself. Call 667-210-7306. That's 667-210-7306. Or call directly to the church. That's Good Success Christian Church. They're located at 4401 Sheriff Road, Northeast Washington, D.C. That's 4401 Sheriff Road, Northeast Washington, D.C. And the church number is 202-398-3000. That's 202-398-3000. And again, that's every Wednesday and Friday night for the month of September, which is National Recovery Month. Amen? Amen. So we encourage you to reach out and be part of that. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about contentment. That's our topic. We're going to be discussing it. Again, if you can call in at 646-668-2636, and you're on the line and you want to share insight, ask a question, you just press one on your keypad. We bring you up on the switchboard, and you can share. And thank you for those who called in, and also I thank you for those who are online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and listening in there. You can always go to Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You have questions there. You can inbox us, message us, and we're monitoring that. So if you have anything you wanted to reach out to and let us know, give us a call, and be part of the program. Amen. Amen. Well, today I have Elder Mark Gons who's joining me again this week. Praise the Lord, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning. God bless.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I am blessed, sir. Excited, thankful, just on fire, just truly blessed, truly, truly blessed. Thank you so much.
Amen, sir. Amen. I'm encouraged by you, brother, because I hear you're on fire and things are happening. And it just, it's good. It's good. Iron sharpens iron. You have a burning log. You stand next to a burning log, and you can catch on fire. So I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about contentment and what it means and what it and again, this is each of us. You know, it's not so much that we all have it together, but this is a character trait because you never know what a person's going through and how, you know, just wanting and not being satisfied. That's the first word I want to say, being satisfied where God has you. And what does that look like and what does that mean? Because one of the things that I just want to start off, that we have to, our mindset here in America and the Western culture is that if we do, we can get more and more and more. And what are we chasing? And what do we spend our time after? And even in the body of Christ, you know, are we content in our place, in our position? You know, if we look around, a lot of people do a lot of things to gain and we want to lift up our standard. And a lot of time we talk about, you know, it's about finance and it's about having more and possessions. And that's where a lot of idolatry comes from, because wanting more and you're worshiping things and you're collecting and you're just doing things that are not what God has planned for you. And I think that's the biggest thing every Christian man has to consider. What is God's call and purpose in your life, and what are you really chasing? Amen. But let me start the conversation here with going. Let's put a definition in contentment. Contentment is the attitude of accepting whatever God provides and being happy with it. It does not seek gratification, but is not needed, and does not seek happiness in shallow things of life. And I think the first thing we want to talk about is contentment is just being enough, adequate. Do we understand that God is in control of everything, and do we trust what God gives us, or do we think that what we have is not enough? And that's where I think we find ourselves taking a lot of things for granted. And like I said, here in this Western culture, sometimes we have to think back and take a step back, because here it's all about, you know, if you do this, you can bring yourself up and you can get more and you can do more and have more and the American dream and all those other things. What do you say, brother Elder Mark, about contentment? What do you think, sir?
And I was looking at a scripture, and I'll come back to that. But I realized that just as you said, you know, the definition of contentment, it's really being satisfied. It's really being that you are able to trust God, that where you are is where He would have you to be, and that there's more for you, but the things that are coming for you are what God has designed for you, and that's a part of faith. And I was speaking to a gentleman last night, and I shared something that blessed me when I heard it, that I thank you, my nephew shared with me in a discussion. But the what I want to share is, you know, we ask God about our situation being changed because we want to see so much more in our situation. We want to see something different. But what if changing our situation isn't what we need, but our situation is made to change us? So the place you're in, you desire so much more, in finance, you desire the bigger house, the nicer car, or any of those things, or even you desire to be in a different role in ministry. You know, sometimes we put contentment on the material things, but what about our status or our place or our title? What if you want to be, you know, what if you're that person in ministry who says, I don't want to be the one just mopping the floor in the back? What if you're that one who wants to be, I'm ready to be up front, I'm ready to preach? But instead, God's humbling you so that you're prepared for the next step. You're prepared for the blessings that He has for you. If your situation, if your current situation was changed right now, could you handle it? So sometimes we have to really understand that where we are, we trust God in His move, that He knows everything that we need. So be content in where you are, and that's preparation for the growth God has for you. Because if you step out on something, if you step out and get hold of something that you're not ready for, That's just like lifting weights. You gotta be able to deal with the weights you put on that bench before you can go and throw something else on. Because if you lift it, if you try to lift too much, it could kill you. If it doesn't kill you, it can definitely hurt you. So we have to be content and trust God that where we are is where He would have us to be, so that we're prepared for the next thing that He's gonna bless us with. Because God continues to bless us. He promised us abundance. He promised us everything that our heart would desire as long as we serve Him, as we honor Him. But if we're looking at the other things and we're no longer concentrating on God, we're so worried about trying to get something else, then we lose our concentration on God. And now we begin to idolize the other things and no longer have a relationship with God. That's what pulls us away, is the desire to get more and not gain more with God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I think that's perfectly what we need to, we had to look at. We have to look at ourselves, look at our hearts, look at the desires, because you know it's God that should be set our desires and our goals and what we want to do and be satisfied. And it's what God providing, because the Word of God says God will supply all our needs, all of our needs, and that's the thing. That's the word we skip over when that scripture is used to encourage people or to say, you know, as it heard it preach. But it's our needs. And what are our needs? What is our basics? Because the only way, let me say it like this, because even for those who preach it, if you're preached about the overflow, that means all your basic needs are met. Not that after you get everything you want, everything you think you want, everything you got, the Joneses got, you want to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whatever your next door neighbor name is. Then after that, over the overflow, you want to bless God and bless God's people. But that's where we skip over what the Word says, and it's our needs. And I think that's what we have to understand. And every man needs to know, what are the basic needs of your life? What are the basic needs of your family's life? Are those needs being met? Or again, because as man of God, as husbands and fathers, are our weekly, daily, monthly, whatever it is, is it being met without stressing you out? All right, because I've been part of the church in church for a while. I've heard the prayers of people who make praying to get whatever, some finances, some bill, or so something. But again, where we are going past what God has provided for us, and are we satisfied with that? And what do we? And then when we think we want to move, and we get discontented, we get stressed out. And we just have to, I believe as men, we have to just look at our hearts, examine ourselves, and understand, are we being selfish? Are we stressing ourselves out? Are we being greedy? Because greed is a thing that moves people to do a lot of things, because they just want, like you said, more. And then when you brought it back to the church, you know, I remember when you said that, I thought of something, because I remember early in my walk of faith, I met a deacon. And the brother, he was a deacon. It was at a men's fellowship breakfast or something. It was a breakfast, I believe. And I met him, and he was about 70, 75 years old. And someone had stood up and was giving him recognition because of his service to the ministry and to the church. And the man has been a deacon for 50 years. And to this day, I haven't heard of anybody being a deacon in the church for 50 years, because everybody thinks they want to be a pastor, they want to be a minister, they want to be licensed, they want to be, you know, I'm just saying, when you said that, and then we look at what God puts people and puts us in place, are we content? So are you content in where you are and where God has you? Or do we want more because we think we need to be more, we need a position, we need title? And because even in the church now, because we do it in the corporate world, we do it on our jobs, we're going to be the manager, supervisor, night shift supervisor, day shift supervisor, whatever it is. But in the things of God, can we be satisfied where we are? Because sometimes when we want too much and we stress ourselves out, we lose our joy, even on our jobs. Because you might think you want to be the manager until you're the manager. And then you lose your joy. You lose your joy for the job you were doing, or your position, or where you was at. And I think it's the same thing in the body of Christ, because we hear about all the time, almost every other month or every couple of years, you hear about pastors and churches shutting down. What if that pastor would have just stayed where he was, if he was an elder in a church or if he was a deacon, and stayed in place in that ministry? Where couldn't that God have used them instead of going out here and having a church that, let me use a nice word, that dissolved after a couple of years? And that's what we have to look at, and that's what we have to look at now for ourselves as individual men. I want to bring it back to the brothers. You know, what's the count the course? If we're not content where we are, we're going to count the course if we try to pursue and chase other things. Because everybody knows, I'll bring it here, and I'm going to come back to you, Elder. How much stuff are we going to get, and we'll end up finding ourselves in debt. Now we're praying out of debt. Now we're struggling because we overextended ourselves, or we had a season where, what the Bible says, we had a season of much, but we didn't prepare for the drought. You know, so that's where I think contentment is. We can bring it to a term where every man that's listening here on the line today can understand. There's going to be seasons of abundance and seasons of drought. And are we looking out for those? And if we are content with what God has given us, then we truly are using the wisdom God has given us, that whatever he's providing, that we're content with, and we can stay and live within our boundaries. What do you say, sir? There's a scripture you wanted to share, and what do you think?
Yes, sir. I want to, I'm going to share, it's 1 Timothy 6, and I'm going to start at verse 6, and I'm going to just read through verse 10. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop at verse 9. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. And listen to this, for we bought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these things will we be content? But those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation, into snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." See, when we start searching for more and more and more, we want to look like this, we want to be this, we want to have this, we want this title, we want this to show. You know, we go out, as Deacon said, we go out and we search for the finances. We have a nice job. We've been blessed with a job, but the job wasn't enough, because what if God gave us the job to give us the things that we needed for our basics, and then the overflow was for us to be a blessing to someone else? But our concentration has now turned into, I've got to look like the money that's coming in. I've got to have the high name car. I've got to have the big car. I've got to have the three-piece suit when I walk into church. I've got to have all these things. And you have all these things, and then now, because you haven't been a steward over the money that's coming in, you hit a drought season. And now all those things that defined you, all those things you had defined you, now start to become too much to handle. You can't afford to keep the car running and looking good, because now you can hardly afford to put the premium gas in or pay for the $300 oil change that it needs. Now you can't keep the three-piece suit cleaned up, because dry cleaning is a little more than you have, and you can't put your three-piece suit in the washing machine, so you can't keep it looking clean. So now those things that defines you start to fall off, so now you feel like you're no longer worthy. Now you feel like you're no longer the person that you were, and you're looking at God, well, God, how could you give me all this and then just take it away? God said, I didn't give you all that. I gave you this to be a blessing to someone else, so that I know you be prepared for the even greater blessing I already had in store for you. But since you wasted this, I've got to place it where someone else can be a blessing, and someone else can be blessed until I know you're ready for it. So what if we're taking the time, spending all of our time looking for these greater things, and we're being plunged into ruin and destruction? Because we're caught up in the things that God didn't even want us to look at. Forgive me, Deacon. I'm trying to think of the exact scripture, but it paraphrases. It talks about how the birds of the air and the flowers and they don't worry. They worry for nothing. They just exist, and God is glorified in their existence. I'm not sure what the scripture is, but we're so worried about, you know, looking a certain way and worried about what we're going to have tomorrow, when God says, I'm taking care of you today. If I've taken care of you today, trust that tomorrow is already done. That's our level of contentment. It's a level of faith, believing that God is going to give you everything that you need to sustain you today. And if he did it today and yesterday, why won't he do it tomorrow? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And you're absolutely correct, because, you know, a selfish person, I mean, when we're discontented, we're stressed, we're selfish, we're unhappy, all of these things come, like you said, and with that we're trying to share with the brothers here today, when you're chasing something, you don't find contentment and thankfulness and trust in God where we are. And I think that's really important, and because it comes with a lot. It comes with our marriages. You know, people married 15, 20 years and divorced because they're not content, but they want something else out of their spouse, or they think they can find something better. This is all where contentment touches on all parts of our lives. That's why I just want to not be focused right on finances, but it's other things. Emotionally, are we content emotionally? Are we content, you know, physically? People go on diets, people are on different diet every year, every 6 months, every whatever, trying to get to a weight. You ask them what their target weight is, they don't know what their target weight is. You just know they need to lose more weight. You know what I'm saying? And that's where it's a mindset. We're not satisfied with what God has given us. We're not satisfied and trusting God that God knows what we need. And then we bring all of the discontent and the stress and the selfishness and as body of Christ and as children of God, we can't be selfish. We can never be selfish. Because we never be content. Because any place that sets a barrier, because we're always looking, we're never satisfied. We never reach that gratification we're seeking, because we can't be content. You might achieve a level. You know, I'll go back to weight loss. You might lose weight. Your blood sugar's good. Your weight's good. Your pressure's down. You're off your meds. You're off your medication. When you lose some weight, some things, your body will start to act right, be right, and some of the things that you may be dealing with health-wise will get better. But now you want to get down to the size, I don't know, women's sizes. Some days out there, they're size 0, 2, 5, 7, whatever that is. But for brothers, you know, how small, you know, how much weight do you want to lose? On the other end, your brothers, they're bulking up. They want to be the Incredible Hulk. They want to be, what's one brother's name? The Rock. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? They have these physical ambitions, and that's what that's another thing. They want, they're chasing, because that's a way of being not being content with the body God gave you. And then, you know, you don't know what folk do to get the body that we say we crave after, because that's what it is. We're craving and we're lusting after. So, you know, then I think that's the point, because that brings a lot of stress. And then again, it goes back to, what is God's will for our life? Well, we're chasing these things because we're not content with what God has blessed us with. Because God created us all. He created our bodies. He created who we look like, who we are, our personalities. And we need to find contentment in that thing and be comfortable in what God has done. And with contentment, we have to realize who we are in Christ, because I think that's our biggest thing. And that's where I think contentment, because we don't realize who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us and where and how God sees us. Just by the blessings of his grace, he's going to take care of us. Like the scripture you mentioned before, you know, the birds of the air and the flowers, they don't worry. They just be. They just are, because that's how God created them. And us as human beings need to learn that by faith, that we understand what Christ has done, that we're living under the grace of God, that we're in right standing with God the Father, the Creator, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in his eyes, we are pleasing to him. If all we have to do is obey, be obedient, be hearers of the word, be doers of the word, not just hearers. And all we live in a life that glorifies him and furthering his kingdom. That's one of the things that this year was something that I personally looked at and shared with other brothers, You know, are we living lives that glorify him and advance his kingdom? And that goes in all areas of our life. And I think contentment is one of those things we each have to, again, we have to look in the mirror and judge ourselves. Because when we're content, there's a lot of other things now. We are secure. We're trusting God. We talk about humility. We talk about our faith. Our faith grows because we are content. And we understand that our dependence on God and that God is providing, and we're happy with what God has given us. And now we want to tell someone else and be able to help others, and we're submitted to his will. So we really have to seek that out. I want to read a scripture real quick also, and I'm going to come back to you, bro. I'm going to go to Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. And hold on, I got a paper Bible here. I'm still old school. I keep it close. But we're going to talk about in Philippians chapter number 2, and I believe it's verse number 3. No, excuse me, verse number 13. Number 13. And the word of God, well, let me start at 12. So we're going to Philippians chapter 2, start at verse number 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that good pleasure is God's will for our life. And are we content with that? Once we understand what God has created us for, what he's called us to be as husbands, as fathers, as sons, as leaders in the home, leaders in the church, leaders in the community, are we content now? And like you said, brother, I'm going to go back to what you was touch on what you said again. Even in the body of Christ, are we content with our position? Because remember, a foot can't be a hand can't be a foot. Because if they are, then something's out of place and something's not right. What do you say, sir?
And forgive me, sir. I don't want to just to go off onto a tangent and go to another. And I'm just thanking the Holy Spirit for just a download and just a thought. You know, as men, we as Christian men, I know, and those listening, I pray that you can catch on to what I'm saying here. But you know, we all look at Adam before the fall as the ideal man, is what God purposes as men. And as Adam before the fall, before he ate of the fruit, and we're not going to say whether it was Eve or whatever the temptation, however it came that he ate of the fruit, that was the fall of man. Before that, the word says that, and I'm paraphrasing, that he spent all day just walking through the garden with God. He spent all day with God. And it was after the fruit that Adam and Eve hid from God because they now saw that they were naked. See, before that, they were content. Before the fall, before sin came into play, they were content with life. They were content to just spend time with God. That's what we have to, that's, if we go back to the root things, if we go back to that understanding that man was meant to be content and just spend his time with God. He was meant to just be good with walking with God, spending each and every moment with God. But now his desire, now his understanding that there was things, there were issues he had to hide, there was issues he had to adjust to make himself comfortable, that's part of the fall. So our discontent is just a continuation of the fall of man. It's the fact that we are desiring to show ourselves in a certain way. We're desiring to cover up, so we need the clothes. We need the status that hides who we are to be. We need the title on our lives. We need the title in front of our name to show us as a certain way, because we're not just good with just walking with God where he would have us. When we think like that, we start to realize, wait a minute, this is just taking me away from what God has for me. If I was good, if I was meant to be just comfortable with spending my time with God, why am I concentrating on all these other things? But wait a minute, that's a big step to say, wait a minute, so you just mean don't look at all this stuff? You mean that none of that stuff matters? In the end, when we go back to the scripture I shared, we came into the world with nothing, we're going to leave the world with nothing. So all the stuff in the middle, if you get it right with God, the eternal part of life will be right. That's when you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you spent the time concentrating on God, being content with where he has you and not running after everything else that takes you away from God. So if the enemy tricked Adam and Eve away from their contentment with God, then are we still being tricked? I just pose that question. Are we still being tricked? Are we still falling short? Are we still being lied to when our search is for everything other than what God has for us? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And that's what we were talking about today. Here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm here in Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark, and we're talking about contentment. And we continue to understand that that our basic necessities of life is what we ought to be as Christian men. Our basic necessities. Everything starts with our basic necessities. You know, because we all, okay, in the temporal realm, you know, hopefully every man, you know, you go to school, you train, whatever your circumstance, you can go to college, go to school, go to tech school, go in the military, you get a training, you get a job skill, you're productive in society, you're productive in your work, you could be entrepreneur, you could be with all those things. But now, at what point are you content where God puts you? Because we all work towards something from high school on, so we figure out what we like, what we enjoy, whatever our occupation, vocation is. Then are we content? Now, as men of God, in that contentment, so when God, because God's going to bless us, but yet, are we content in the place now we want to be pleasing to him? Because, again, it's God that put us in our place, in the place we are, no matter where we are. I don't care if you're a PhD or if you're the janitor or you're a ditch digger. You know, you're there, but even in that, God has a plan to use us. Because remember, we are to be salt and light. So wherever God puts us, we should be salt and light in this temporal realm. And when we content, after a while, we're there, we're submitted to it, we look around. How can I serve God where I am? I think that's the big question. As men of God, how can I serve God where I am? Who can I affect for God? Who can I share the gospel with? How can I serve my local church? Because, you know, we all know, you know, folk call, pray for a blessing, pray for a job, and then they can't come to Bible study. They can't come to Sunday service. They can't participate when nothing's going on in ministry in their particular, your particular local congregation. Because why? Because you're working. You got to work. You got to do this. You got to, yeah, I understand all that. But then there's some point in our lives, are we content to where now we're going to give our free time, our time to God in recognition for what he's done and what he's put us through? You know, because a lot of us started from economically, socially, economically thing. You know, we all start from different places. But now at some point, there's going to be some success. But now where is our spiritual success and growth? And again, how are we serving God? Because God doesn't bless us with a raise and a promotion and all of this where we're doing, we have to do all these things that's taken, like the brother shared. Are we chasing success so much that we're sacrificing our time with God? And even before that, because we start sacrificing our time with our family because we want to do so much and want to achieve so much. Are we separating ourselves from our family, from our wives? And from our wives, from our children. See, these are things we have to look at as men. And these are the things us as Christian men that we have to discuss. We have to talk. We have to encourage one another and be able to speak into the lives of other men that may not know and may not understand. Because we, again, here in this Western culture, we put a great value on success. And Elder, I like what you said. You know, it's something that reminded me of something that came to my mind about, We like to wear our blessings on our backs, you know, in our culture. In this culture, we got to wear it on our back so everybody can see that what we got, how we doing, you know. And that's part of, you know, the selfishness, the vain, the vain deceit, and what the enemy does. Because you know, the enemy can put stuff and give people stuff too. And then they might want to call it God, but it's the enemy setting them up because, you know, they have an influence over others. But anyway, when we talk about contentment too, we want to talk about what are the good things of contentment. And that what it is, that once we are content, it can really fuel our faith. I'm going to come to you, Elder, here, because I want to talk about the being content, how it can fuel our faith and our walk with God, and how that can be a blessing and then be an overflow. Because I believe that even in the body of Christ, we need to see men that are content and that their faith is fueled by their contentment, where we see men laboring, we see men participating, we see men leading in the church, in the ministries. That ministries are being, that we have men involved and engaged in ministry in the things of God. And I think if every man would seek his godly contentment and be pleased where God has them, I think that that's one of the struggles and the boundaries that the enemy uses and puts in place to try and hinder men from being in their place. Let me say it like that, being in their place. So what do you say, sir? Being content can help us be in our place.
Amen, amen. I want to share, and this is may seem a little off as I start to go into what you just asked, Deacon. Here recently, my wife and I've gone through, and I must say honestly, a true transformation in the last couple of weeks where I even told some people around me that I considered September 12th my new birthday, because I've reached a place of just being on fire. Because and I'm blessed by this conversation about contentment, because for so long, you know, my faith I felt was strong, my belief was strong, but I'm realizing it wasn't the strength that really was supposed to be, because I was so worried about my place, my position, as far as my finances, as far as the job that I had, the things that were going on, how life just looked. Like I'm comparing myself to so much others. Like, well, why don't I have this? And why don't I have this? And I'm struggling looking for this, and I'm worried about that. And my wife and I had started a 40-day fast not too long ago. And to all those listening, I encourage you, take the time to fast. And when I say fast, I don't mean just, it doesn't have to be the traditional, I'm giving up, I'm not eating from 6 to 6, I'm not doing this, because sometimes those things, and let's be honest, I'm going to be real, sometimes those things turn into, I'm just on a daily diet. But if you realize, I need to give up some things so I can spend some more time with God, I got to get closer to God. When you spend that time, get closer to God and stop concentrating on all the other stuff, when you become content with where you are and stop trying to move everything around you to get to a different level, God's going to take you to another place because you're spending more time with him. And I've been doing that, and the fire, my brothers on the line, sisters listening in, I'm telling you, the fire that comes inside of you when you are content with where you are and stand with the expectation that God's going to show you more where you are to change who you are, the fire that comes out of it. I've never felt this amount of confidence in my situation, in my place, knowing that I am empowered to do more with what I have, because I'm spending my time looking for God and not looking for something else to make me feel like God is there. See, God puts you in a place and allows you to walk in that place so you can understand that place is consistently every day positioned for his glory. See, if your story is that, like Deacon said, if you're the PhD, you need to be the PhD that give God glory. If you're the ditch digger, you need to be the ditch digger that gives God glory in that place so someone else can be blessed. But if you're trying it so hard to get out of the ditch, you might not meet the person that life is supposed to be changed, because they met you as a humble man, as the ditch digger, content with life. So they'll start searching for God because they see how good you are, how content you are with life. and how blessed you are in your contentment, then they can start searching for what you're searching for and what you have, and that's God. Man, and I know it sounds like I'm probably rambling. I don't know. I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed that in this discussion of contentment, it's making me realize what I'm going through and what's changing me, that I'm no longer desiring to see things different, but loving life where God has me, because I know that's the place he has me to get closer to him. And as I'm getting closer to him, I'm understanding more that my desire to be with him is where I will grow. I don't need to change everything around me to grow. I need to desire God more to grow. So I have to stop concentrating on everything I want to change and be changed where I am. I encourage you, brothers. I encourage all y'all listening. Take the time to see where you are and why God has you there, so that you can see who God is in that place, and then you see the growth you desire. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And that's one of the things we have to understand, too, because God condemns self-indulgent desires. And that's where we have to look. We have to search ourselves. Every man has to search himself and determine when he's just being selfish, when he's going to be self-indulgent. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can buy this thing or go do this thing doesn't mean you should. But is that what God's will for your life is? And I think when we talk about contempt, we have to be, it's about submission unto God's will and knowing his will and knowing what God has for you. And we have to not allow the enemy to come in and take us off course. Because as Christian men, we are to share love with others. We have to have others' interests in our mindset and focus on life, that we can have contentment. Because with contentment, we can have compassion for others. Because if we're chasing, and if we're not living out the life of Christ, if we're not living out the love of Christ, if we're not ministering, if we're not doing all those things because we're not content in ourselves. And when we talk about it, I'm going to bring it to spiritual contentment also, because we have to know who God is, and we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit living within us. Because that's when we're in that place where we know that we're pleasing to God, and God is using us, and we're happy where God has us, and we just content and we rest in God. We have peace with God. That's how God can use us to reach others, to for the body of Christ, to encourage each other, it removes the stress and the discontent. Because again, if we look at the body of Christ and we look at our churches, the stress and discontent is what keeps people separated, what keeps people not being in real koinonia and fellowship, being able to encourage one another. You know, when you're not content with your life, you can't encourage somebody else because you're not happy when they do better. You know, because again, these are the things that we have to be as men. We have to reach that place where we are content, where we can show love one to another. And the only way we can do that is through obedience to the Spirit, and understand that we are just sinners saved by grace, and understand what the grace of God is. And I'm just satisfied. Like my brother said, we talked about Adam. Just be satisfied to be in his presence. Because, again, all this worldly stuff is going to pass away, and we're going to stand before God naked. So when we stand naked and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or we stand naked before him and be ashamed and be separated. That's what we all have to, every man has to look at. I myself, my brother, and you that are listening, we have to look at when God sees us and we stand before him at judgment, what will we bring to the table on how we live? If we live a life of contentment and at peace with God and we're satisfied and happy, or do the stuff we have, we complain about that it's not this, it's not that. I wish I was like him. I wish I was more like the pastor. You know, whatever your person is, you wish you was like them. Because we all do it in sports. Maybe when we were kids, and some of us grown folks still do it now. I want to be like this one. I wish I could be like that. Well, even the other side, you know, we want our sons and daughters to be athletes like this one, or the education. Or, you know what I'm saying? it manifests itself in a lot of ways, but we have to have the wisdom of God and be prayed up and be spiritually led on how we deal with the circumstances of life. So we're not moved by the external, but we're satisfied with God and what God is getting, and where God has us is sufficient for us, even in this season. Because God, I also don't want to say that, you know, we're stuck. But are we content in the position? That's the one thing I want to come back to and touch on. Are you content where you are right now today? Because that's the only way you can be able to move forward. Because God may have more for you, but are you appreciative and have gratitude that today is enough? We talk about it. We say it a lot in prayer. You know, if God, you do nothing else for me, I praise you. When we say that, do we really mean that? Because whatever you're going through right now, that means he may not bring you out, and you're satisfied in that place. So, God, if you do nothing else for me, I will always praise you. So if you don't move from the day you are right now today, is that a true statement, or is that just something we sing and become the cliche in our worship services? Amen? You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Mm-hmm. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Saturday, at 9 a.m., every Monday at 8 p.m., and every Thursday night at 8 p.m., we can just talk about the issues and encourage the brothers and the things in life, the issues we deal with as Christian men, trying to live better, trying to live obedient to the Word of God, and live a life that's glorifying to Him. And we encourage you to call. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to this, the broadcast of this show, archive of this show, and archive of all of our previous shows over the last 4 years. And we encourage you to do that and share it on Facebook. Go to Facebook, we're Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, and we just encourage you to join us, especially on Saturday mornings and Mondays before Monday Night Football and Thursdays before Thursday Night Football. Amen. Amen. Brother Elder, I'll give you the last word, and you can close us out in prayer. And I appreciate you for taking time out your morning and joining us this morning.
As always, my brother, it is a blessing to fellowship with you, to build with you. I'm just excited, encouraged, empowered, and look forward to the next opportunity to share some word with you, and hopefully we can empower these brothers as well. Before Amen. I give a last word, I just want to give a quick shout out to the leader of the of my General Assembly, Local Assembly, Apostle Etta Banks, and just to share our upcoming service on this Sunday, 11 o'clock, we're having outdoor worship and curbside prayer in the Woodlawn area. We are at 1724 Woodlawn Drive, Suite Number 2, in once again, Woodlawn, Maryland. If you are in the area, if you know someone in the area, send them out. We're just blessed to have this outdoor worship to get outside of the four walls and really begin to take these communities and take this world back. The enemy is on his attack and on his move, and it's time for us as Christians to get out and make our move as well. So let's be the bold Christians we're called to be and step out. So once again, if you're in the Woodlawn area, please join us tomorrow morning for our 11 o'clock worship, our outdoor service. We will be there empowering and praising. So hopefully you can come fellowship with us. And as a last word, as Deacon Farr so graciously allowed me to share, I just pray those listening and those that will come back to listen for the show that's archived, and as Deacon said, the many shows that are archived from the last 4 years, I pray that you're encouraged and don't think that as we stand, as we're here to share, that we have it all together. We're still growing. This very ministry is ministry to us as well. Sometimes we have to look at our place to realize, are we really content, or are we just searching for more? And is that search taking us away from what God has? I pray that you all will find the place that you realize God is walking with you, and that's his desire to walk with you each and every day. And that our search for more sometimes walks us away. And that our prayer to change our situation is not God's will, because he wants our situation to change us. I just uplift and encourage you. I thank you for joining us, for listening. And as we pray out, I pray that you'll continue to be blessed and that you'll join us on the next time so that we can continue to fellowship together. Father God, we honor you and bless you. We praise your holy, magnificent name. We thank you that as we join together, Lord God, we are unifying in one mind and one body and one understanding, Lord God, that you are the way, the truth, and the light. And as we depend upon you, Lord God, as we become content in you, Lord God, as we take our time to fellowship with you and stop looking for the ways of the world, stop looking for the desires of the world, stop looking for the things in the world to please the world, that we move to please you, our lives will line up, Lord God, and we will see the blessings that continue to pour in the abundance that is you and you alone. We thank you for today. We thank you for yesterday. And, Lord God, we thank you for tomorrow because we know that you have already done everything that we need. Your word says that all things are working out for the good of those that love you, and truly we love you, Lord God, so we know that our situations are working out for our good. We give you the praise, glory, and honor that you truly deserve. We uplift our hallelujah unto you and say thank you, and we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, brother.